To gain visibility and control over your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more, take advantage of this special financing offer of no payments or interest for 6 months from NetSuite by Oracle. Go to netsuite.com/wallstreet. That's netsuite.com/wallstreet.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing for Friday, May 5th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Imagine having your childhood filmed, photographed, and shared with the world, and your parents, guardians, or other adults who did the sharing earning money from those posts. That's the reality for a growing number of children. Now, lawmakers in some states are looking to pass laws that offer at least some protection for these children. But adding any kind of regulation to this space that's still relatively new isn't easy. Our producer Zoe Kolkin has been following these efforts and joins us later in the show to explain how they're faring. That's after these headlines. Apple reported its second straight quarter of declining sales. Demand for some of its devices has waned after reaching record levels during the pandemic. Apple's first quarter revenue and net income were both down 3% compared to the same period a year ago. iPhone sales, however, grew by 1.5% as consumers continued to gravitate towards the company's most expensive smartphones. Lyft reported better-than-expected first-quarter earnings and revenue yesterday, but disappointed investors with its weaker-than-expected outlook for the current quarter. The ride-hailing company's revenue increased 14% to $1 billion. Adjusted earnings, that strips out some expenses that executives consider outside the company's core operations, came in at $22.7 million, above Wall Street expectations, but less than half what it brought in during the same period last year. This all comes as Lyft goes through a tumultuous period of layoffs and leadership changes. And the Biden administration called several tech CEOs to the White House yesterday to remind them they have a responsibility to ensure their artificial intelligence products are safe. Tools like OpenAI's ChatGPT have prompted concerns around privacy, bias, and the potential for widespread scams and misinformation. Vice President Kamala Harris met with the heads of Google, Microsoft, OpenAI, and Anthropic. The White House also announced $140 million in new spending to target AI research and development. But our tech policy reporter John McKinnon says the government doesn't have much power here.
We have seen meetings like this in the past when an administration is worried about a particular technology issue and is trying to get ahead of it. The problem that they keep running into in the government is that there are a lot of problems that can be created by technology, and the government actually doesn't have all that many rules and regulations to apply to these situations because technology is pretty lightly regulated. And the administration is essentially trying to do two things. It's trying to warn the companies that they need to pay attention to this and do as much as they can to rein in the potential excesses. But at the same time, they're also trying to build a case for the need for more regulation.
Google and Microsoft declined to comment. OpenAI and Anthropic didn't return requests for comment. Okay, in a moment, state lawmakers want children to get a cut of the money they help their families earn on social media. We'll find out how those efforts are going when we come back.
Have you ever heard a voice in your head telling you to ask for a raise, start a business, or switch careers? Maybe you should. This episode is brought to you by the new book, Spark, 24 Concepts to Ignite, Unstick, or Supercharge Your Work Life. Learn more at sparkbook.com.
The global market for influencer advertising is expected to surpass $21 billion this year, according to Influencer Marketing Hub. For family and parent accounts, a lot of the revenue they generate will come from sharing pictures and stories of their children. But that raises a number of questions, from privacy concerns to who gets to keep the money earned from these posts. Our producer Zoe Kolkin has been looking into this and joins us now to discuss legal efforts to address it. Zoe, can you start by telling us, have children that have been the focus of these kinds of accounts spoken about how it is growing up in front of the camera and how that's impacted them?
Yeah, so vlogging and family vlogging is still such a new career path. So a lot of the kids who have been affected by this are still kids. So it is difficult to gauge what the long-term effects are. But there is a woman named Cam Barrett who is now an adult, and her mom had a blog when she was younger where she posted pictures and intimate details of her childhood. Here's what Cam Barrett had to say while she was testifying in front of the Washington State Legislature.
I just want to note that today is the first time that I've introduced myself with my legal name in 3 years because I'm terrified to share my name because the digital footprint I had no control over exists. I apologize. When you Google my name, simply just my first name, childhood photos of me in bikinis will pop up.
You can hear the pain and emotion in her voice. Teenagers and young adults who kind of grew up consuming this kind of content are realizing the effects that it can have on kids in the long term, both in terms of privacy, like in the case with Cam Barrett, where she felt she was exploited and had her privacy taken away from her, but also financially, considering there just aren't any clear rules that exist right now to make sure that kids are getting a cut of the content that their parents are monetizing.
Are lawmakers anywhere in the country taking steps to deal with these issues, either the use of minors' likenesses in posts or the financial side where they aren't necessarily receiving any of the money from the monetized posts they're in?
So a bill in Illinois called SB 1782 is currently circulating through the state's government, and it aims to protect these child vloggers. I was able to speak with one of the co-sponsors, Senator Dave Kaler, about how this topic got on his radar.
This is more widespread than certainly I realized. This was brought to me by a 15-year-old student from Normal, Illinois, and she's on YouTube quite a bit. She has seen a lot of the vloggers that are out there, and she was concerned about it. So she contacted my office. People all over said, yeah, this is a problem. This needs to be addressed somehow. So we're trying to address this.
So Zoe, how does this bill in Illinois try to address either of these issues?
Yeah, so to understand how this bill works, it helps to have a little bit of background knowledge on some existing federal law called Coogan's Law. And a lot of people might already be familiar with this, but Coogan's Law protects child actors or performers, and it makes sure that whatever money the child is earning when they're acting or performing, their parents have to set aside a trust fund for them, contribute a certain percentage of their income into that account that they can then access when they reach a certain age or the age of majority. So SB 1782 is really aiming to do the same thing, just in the social media space. So vloggers whose children appear in 30% of their paid content within a 30-day period have to set aside a trust fund and contribute a percentage, and that percentage is dependent on how many children are present, what the views are, the amount of time they spend in these ads.
You know, I feel like we keep talking on this show about how influencing has all these similarities to Hollywood, and this just feels like the latest one to be pointed out. You're telling us about this bill circulating in Illinois. Are there efforts in any other states to do something similar?
Yeah, so Illinois actually borrowed the language of this bill from a similar bill that started in Washington State. That bill did not get passed when they were in last session. They are going to attempt again next year. But I had the chance to speak with one of the co-sponsors, Representative Christine Reeves, about some of the struggles that they faced in getting it passed.
A majority of people currently serving in the state House of Representatives in Washington exist in a time where social media has not been their entire life. And so for some of them, it is difficult to comprehend that we would proactively be trying to solve a problem on behalf of a generation that in a lot of cases has just come of age to vote, right? And so the work we have to do is just to educate our colleagues on why solving this problem matters and how solving this problem is going to happen in a bipartisan way.
It sounds like Representative Reeves is talking about this generational divide, maybe a generational misunderstanding. I wonder if Illinois is facing any similar issues to what Washington State had to deal with.
Yeah, Illinois is definitely facing some of those same problems and then also other issues and areas of concern. Recently, an amendment was made because the Department of Labor and some of these tech companies and the legislators themselves realized that it's not as easy as it seems to follow through and enforce a deletion of all content that a minor was in for their entire childhood. That's a lot harder and a lot more goes into that than just pressing a delete button. So in order to have a better chance at getting this through, that aspect of deletion of likeness has been amended. So now the bill purely focuses on the financial protection of these children. I asked Senator Kaler about why he decided to take the requirement that platforms delete this content out of the bill.
We didn't really want to make the tech companies liable in that case because that's just the vehicle, the platform that parents are using. This is a decision that's made by parents and that choose to put their children on the internet and then they choose to monetize it.
Okay, so what happens next for these efforts in Illinois?
So SB 1782 is still moving through the state government, but as of now, it was passed unanimously in the Illinois Senate. It has a hearing in the House in the coming weeks. Then it has to go back to the Senate due to an amendment that was made to kind of clear up some of the language of what is vlogging and what is monetization. And then from then on, when it passes in both the House and the Senate, the governor has 60 days to make a decision. Senator Kaler is really optimistic that this is a good start.
It would be ideal if, of course, the federal government would pick this up and Congress would pass something on this, because then it would be enforceable throughout the United States. But a lot of times, this kind of legislation starts with the states. And if we can do it, if Washington can come back and do it, and other states can realize that this is an issue of our time, then maybe we can get some momentum going.
Zoe, thanks for bringing us this story.
Thanks for having me.
That was our producer, Zoe Culkin. And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. TNB's producer is Julie Chang. We had production assistance from Jess Jupiter and Zoe Culkin. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy, and our executive producer is Chris Zinsley. I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.